الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ما بعد. Once again, it's a pleasure to welcome all of you. We continue our classes talking about this very important subject matter, this very important topic that concerns all of us, whether we are married or not, whether we have children already or still waiting to get married, or those who are married still waiting for children, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who grants children and He gives whom He will, boys and girls, or boys or girls. This is the part number 7 in the education of our children. The last part we began to read what the Shaykh Abdul Razzaq al-Badr Hafidhullah Ta'ala began to say, that before children, before Allah give you children, there are certain things that you should do. Number one, and we mentioned this point, that you have to choose the righteous wife. The man who's concerned with the education of his children, he has to choose the right woman to be his wife. Because if Allah grants them children, she's going to be the mother of their children. She's the one that they're going to spend a lot of time with her. And if she's righteous, they're going to copy her and learn from her. The mother is the first teacher for our children. She's a school, actually. As one of the poets says, Al-mar'atu madrasatun. إن أعددتها أعددت شعبا طيب الأعراق. The woman is a school itself, is an institution. If it's righteous, generations will grow up being righteous. والأمر الثاني, the second thing that we should do even before we get children, we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dua. And we mentioned this point also. We have to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to grant us righteous offspring. And as this is something that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, from His righteous and faithful servants, especially the prophets and the messengers, from Ibrahim alayhi salam, they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for righteous children, for righteous offspring. And after Allah grant them children, they continue to make dua, asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect, preserve the children so they can grow up righteous. And we want to mention one point that the Shaykh mentioned, that we should not make a mistake, a very bad mistake, which some parents fall into. They make dua against their children. We should not make dua against our children. Rather, we should be patient with them. Because being children, being young, they're going to make mistakes because they are learning. So we never make dua against them just because they make mistakes. But rather, we be patient. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to correct their affairs and to nurture them and to cause them to grow up being righteous. We continue. Tonight, قال حفظ الله أيضا من الأسباب المعينة على تربية الأولاد أن تختار لهم الأسماء الطيبة الأسماء الحسنة التي تربطهم بطاعة الله تبارك وتعالى. Likewise, from the things that help you as a parents while you're doing this very important task, the education of the children, is that you choose for them the best names, the good names. They having this maybe something here. I don't know. Ask them whatever it is bothering us. Settle us. Hey now. That you choose for your children, boys and girls, the good names, the best names. The Sheikh says names that will connect them and help them to stay obedient. Names that will remind them of Allah. Names that will help them to be obedient to Allah. And he gave examples. You name your boys Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, Muhammad, Salih. ونحو هذه الأسماء التي تذكره. والاسم في الغالب له تأثير. Sheikh mentioned names, for example, Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, Muhammad, Salih. These are names that remind the person. When a person whose name is Abdullah, always remind him that he's a servant of Allah. He's Abdul Rahman. Whenever they call him Abdul Rahman, he remembers, Allah, I'm the servant of Ar-Rahman, the most gracious Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm a servant of Allah. His name Muhammad, remind him of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whenever they call him, whatever he is the name, his mind go and think about the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And of course he will think about his message, his kindness, his seerah and the like. And others from the names that are good names. Yes, names have impact on the people. Names, they have an impact on the people. The Shaykh says. And he mentioned a hadith, in the hadith al-sahih, أَحَبُّ الْأَسْمَاءِ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى عَبْدُ اللَّهِ وَعَبْدُ الرَّحْمَنِ. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says in the sound hadith, the most beloved names to Allah are Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. These are most beloved names to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Abdullah and Abdul Rahman. ولا مانع بل ينبغي أن تعلم ابنك وتقول له أنت عبد لله. اسمك عبد الله لأنك عبد لله. هو الذي خلقك، الله أوجدك، هو الذي ينعم عليك. نعم، فيجب عليك أن تنشأ عبدا لله ممتثلا أمر الله مطيعا له منقادا لشرعه. شيخ، for example, when you name your son Abdullah, and when he began to understand, you tell him, your name is your Abdullah, you sit with your son. He said, you know, let me tell you what your name means. You are a servant of Allah. Allah created you. Allah brought you to existence in this life. Allah, He's the one who conferred upon you all the bounties. From the air you breathe, the water you drink, and the variety of food, intellect, life, vision, hearing, sight. Now you're talking, you're going to even learn more. Now you're walking, you're going to be running. Inshallah, when you grow up, you're going to learn a lot of things, you're going to see a lot of things, you're going to be in places, you're going to see a lot of, you're going to see mountains, you're going to see a lot of animals, and you're going to see a lot of things. And that's all from Allah, that you are one of His servants, and that's what your name means, Abdullah. And you said, since you are a servant of Allah, and Allah who created you and fashioned you in this form and bestow upon you all these favors, then it is an obligation upon you and me as a father me as a mother, we are obliged to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to praise Him, to thank Him, to obey Him, and to comply with His legislation. Huh? If somebody name his son Mo, Sammy, what are you going to tell him? Who's Sammy? Who's they name their children some names, bizarre names. Some Muslim, a'udhu billah, name their children kafir names. After some singer, wa'iyadu billah. So what are you going to tell him? We name you after him? Okay, go, follow his footsteps, wa'iyadu billah. Likewise, when a person name his son Salih, the Shaykh, he says, تقول أنت صالح تعالى يا ابني. معنى الصالح هو المحافظ على أمر الله المحافظ على طاعة الله يبتعد عما حرم الله وهكذا. Likewise, he said, when you name your son Salih, he said, when he began to understand and comprehend in an early age, he says, come here son, we named you Salih, now you need to know what he means. What he means, father? It means a righteous servant. The one who, the righteous servant is the one who preserves the commands of Allah, is obedient to Allah, stay away from the haram. Okay? This is a righteous person. قال الشيخ تعلمه فتختار له الأسماء الحسنة الأسماء الطيبة. نعم. You name your children the best name. Likewise, the women, the girl. You name her Asiya, Sara, Maryam. So when she heard her name Maryam, subhanAllah, already there is a surah in the Quran. She knows Maryam was the mother of Isa alayhi salam. She got a lot to think about her name. You name her Khadija, Aisha, Hafsa, Safiya, Zainab, Juwairiya, Fatima. Hakada. Give them these good names. So that name connect them to Islam. Connect them to the righteous women of Islam. And it's not permissible to name the children Abdul Nabi. Some people, ignorant people, they name their children Abdul Nabi, the slave of the Prophet. And it is worse that some people even follow the Rawafid, La'natullahi alayhim, who they name their children Abdul Hussein. The Rafida. They named their children Abdul Hussein, the slave of Hussein. Al-Iyadu Billah. We do not name our children these names. We'll be careful. SubhanAllah, we have all these beautiful names. The names, whatever has Abd before it, Abdullah, Abdul Rahman, Abdul Samad, Abdul Ilah, Abdul Ghafur, Abdul Ghani, Abdul Quddus, Abdul Salam, Abdul Muhaymin, Abdul Jabbar, Abdul Kareem. And we have all the names of the prophets. Adam, Nuh. You have Idris, Ibrahim, Ismail, Ishaq, Yusuf, Yaqub, Zakaria, Sulaiman, Dawood, Musa, Harun, Isa, Muhammad, Sallallahu Salih, Shu'aib, many, Hud. And you have all the names of the companions. Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, Ali, Talha, Zubair, Sa'd, Mu'ad, and many of them. And then you find a person going to buy a book from some grocery store. A book of like 300 pages, and names. And then they're going to call Abu Muhammad or somebody else. Akhi, what Samsakeen mean? Samsakeen? What is this? A name of a jinn or what? عُودُ بِاللَّهِ. Ya akhi, you lived all these good names, Abdullah, Abdul Rahman. What's Sankhafur mean? Can't even say it right. Yeah, subhanAllah. It's amazing. Leave all these names that are in the Quran. When you name your son Ibrahim, La ilaha illallah, and he's like, Ibrahim. There is a surah in the Quran. You name your son Uthman, Din Nurain, he's like, Subhanallah, Uthman. Whenever he's in a class of hadith, he hears Uthman narrated this hadith. Uthman this. Abu Bakr was the first Khalifa. Umar is the second Khalifa. Make Musa. SubhanAllah, the story of Musa is all over the Quran. Whenever your son is named Musa, he's reading the Quran. وَإِذْ قَالَ مُوسَى He feels it. Allahu Akbar, that's my name. He's like, man, I gotta be like him. I can never be like him, like, for sure, but it's my name, man. You know, I gotta at least be like him, or be close, or do something. You see? وَأَيْضًا مِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ الْمُعِينَةِ Number three, number four, I think. نعم. أليس كذلك؟ Number four, no, right? Four. أيضا من الأسباب المعينة على تربية الأولاد أن تستعيذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم عند الجماع. But also from the things that help. See, look, it's like it's not like some children, some parents, they wait until the child, he's no longer a child, he's a teenager, he's 17 and getting in trouble. Now they're like, we gotta do something. Man. Listen, sister, sit down. We gotta educate this young man. Now you wanna educate young man? Now, after 17 years of not knowing where he is, what he's doing, who he's talking to, where he's going, nothing. The father has his own program, the mother has her own program. That child went through for 17 years, don't even know who his parents are. Don't spend no time with him, nothing. Don't bring him in a masjid, no talk, no hadith, no sunnah in the house. Now they want to like, look man, you got to get it straight. How are you going to get it straight? Did you give him the tools to get it straight? No, it starts way before even you get the children. Here is the fourth point. From the things that helps in the righteousness of our children, that the husband, before he have intercourse with his wife, he seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shaitan. And you seek refuge with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the shaitan and from harming your children. You have no children yet. You don't even know if you have any children. And this comes in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the sound hadith. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, لو أن أحدكم إذا أراد أن يأتي أهله فقال بسم الله اللهم جنبنا الشيطان وجنب الشيطان ما رزقتنا فإنه إن يقدر بينهما ولد في ذلك لم يضره شيطان أبدا. The Prophet says, if one of you, he was addressing the man, the husband, if one of you, if he wants to enjoy his wife, and before he does that, he say Bismillah, O Allah, in the name of Allah, O Allah, keep the shaitan away from us, and keep the shaitan away any children you may provide us with. He says, if because of that relationship that night or that morning or whatever it is, the woman got pregnant, shaitan will never harm. No shaitan ever will harm that child. SubhanAllah. So her husband got to slow down and do what is right. Do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not just for the desire. You gotta fulfill your desires anyway. But then you wanna apply the sunnah. You wanna say Bismillah. You wanna at that moment remember that you are a servant of Allah and you don't know your wife after the next morning or after a week or two, she's like, hey, she's pregnant. Now what you gonna say? Oh, how you make the dua? And what are you going to do? You can't rewind the tape. Now you're going to make it a habit. Learn and say, I got to practice this. Insha'Allah ta'ala. فَهَذِهِ مِنَ الْأُمُورِ الْمُعِينَ عَلَى تَرْبِيَةِ الْأَوْلَادِ Like this one, making this dua at that time, it is from the things that help the children grow up righteous. خامسا number 5 أيضا من الأمور المعينة على تربية الأولاد وهو أمر في غاية الأهمية يا إخوان ويجب أن نتنبه له. Number 5 the Sheikh says likewise from the things that helps in the education of our children, the good education, the proper way. And this is something that is very important one. All of those are important, but this one is a little bit more. And especially for us men, that we may be fathers, we have to pay attention to this. Those who are our fathers, we have to pay attention to this. أن يكون الأب قدوة صالحة. You want your children to grow righteous? You gotta be righteous yourself. You gotta be a good example. Now you want your child to be righteous, to be obedient to Allah, to be upon the right path. You wanna be righteous yourself too. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in Surah As-Saff, يا أيها الذين آمنوا لما تقولون ما لا تفعلون كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. O you who believe, why do you say that which you do not do? May Allah have mercy on us. We talk a lot, we say a lot of things, but when it comes to action, Allah al-Musta'an. May Allah have mercy on us. May Allah have mercy. Ayah is a serious ayah. O you who believe, why is it that you say that which you don't do? We talk. كبر مقتا عند الله أن تقولوا ما لا تفعلون. It is considered very bad thing with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you say that which you don't do. Allah, it's not a good thing, it's a bad thing. قال فمن الواجبات المهمة والمتحتمة على كل أب أن يكون صالحا في نفسه مستقيما في نفسه حتى ينشأ الابن متأثرا بوالده في استقامته. لأن الشيخ عبد الرزاق حفظه الله says from the obligations. This is not an option. It's not a choice. This is an obligation upon the parents, especially the fathers. Every father, he has to be righteous himself. He has to be upright upon the deen of Allah. So that his child will grow up looking up to the father. The child spends more time with the father. And he observes, he takes from him his character. The way he dress, the way he sit, the way he eat. The way he talk. In the times of ease, how he acts, the times of anger, the times of difficulties and the like. So if the father is righteous, upright, the children, they grow up righteous. And we know examples. Look in your community. In the community, you see those parents, mashallah, who's concerned with the ibadah, with the knowledge, with the deen of Allah, with salat. You find their children, they follow them. You find their children try to look like them. A little kid, 3-4 years old, will never leave the house without a thobe. Nobody tell him. Sometimes they tell him, no, you're still young. No, you. Why? You take care of too. Inham. They want to come to the masjid and they stand next to them, to their parents, and make tahiyat al-masjid, even though sometimes they don't finish the prayer. Alright, because they're still young, 3 years, two, sometimes two. Some of them didn't even finish complete 2 years and they stand, Akbar. Can't even say Allahu Akbar right. And why? Because the parents. Can you imagine another 3-year-old, his father dancing, music, singing, cursing, fighting, throwing chairs. What the son is going to be doing? Saying Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Astaghfirullah, Ya Fa'abi, La Ilaha Illallah.
He's going to be doing the same thing.
He's going to be dancing with his father and singing. And that's why you see sometimes you'd be amazed. Little kids, 5, 6 years old, you want to talk to them, they call you names. Where they get that from? Parents from the house. وأهل العلم يقولون إن الدعوة بلسان الحال أبلغ من الدعوة بلسان المقال. People of knowledge, they say da'wah by example has more effect, strong impact than the da'wah by the tongue, by statements. In terms, in these days, what they say actions speak louder than words. That's what they say. Right, Abdul Majid? You, Abdul Majid. Yes. That's what they say, right? Huh? Yeah, that's all saying. We have a benefit now. We have ziyada. We have an addition from fiqh, alhamdulillah. Alright? Ziyada fiqh. Maqboola, inshallah, accepted. Now, he said that's an old saying that they say actions speak louder than words. Right? فتكون في نفسك قدوة صالحة لابنك. نعم. You want your child to be righteous? You gotta be righteous yourself as a father. You want your daughter to be righteous and pious, Muslima? Well, guess what? You the mother, you have to be righteous and pious. I know. Because she's copying you. ولهذا قال الله تبارك وتعالى عن الرسول عليه الصلاة والسلام لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا. Because we as a human being, we have tendency to copy one another. نعم. That's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, you have indeed in the Messenger of Allah the best example. We don't have to look somewhere else. From the ruler to I don't know who. The ruler, if he wants to be the best ruler over the Muslims, yes, he can. But if he looks at the ruler, the best ruler, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Because the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he was a leader. He was qa'id. Likewise, somebody wants to be the best teacher, you can. Look at the best teacher, the Prophet ﷺ. The da'i can be, if he wants to be a good da'i, he has to look at the example of the Prophet ﷺ. The khatib, the father, you want to be the best father to your children, you can. But look at the Prophet ﷺ, he was the best father to his children. You can be the best husband, you can be the best son-in-law, father-in-law. You can be the best stepfather. You can be the best neighbor, the best merchant. You can be the best friend. And you can be the best, you can be amongst the best servants of Allah. We just do it the way, and we look at the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. قال فتكون قدوة صالحة لابنك. فتكون أنت في نفسك محافظا على الأوامر مجتنبا للنواهي مبتعدا عن المحرمات. Now of course, as a father, you want your son to be righteous, to be upright upon the deen of Allah. You want your son to preserve the commands of Allah and stay away from the haram. Well, be that person yourself. Make it easy for your child. Make it easy for your child. When he sees you doing it, mashallah, it's easy for him. But if you're doing something else and you want him to just be righteous but you're not, that's confusing. It's like when a father said to his son, don't smoke. I'll never see you smoking, okay? But then 10 minutes later, the mother said to that teenager, he's 11 or whatever, 12, take the trash outside in the backyard or whatever. Now he's going out there. He sees his father smoking. He's like, listen, man, this is what's wrong with this picture here. This man just told me don't smoke. He's smoking. Why is it good for you? It's not good for me. And some parents, they don't have no answer to that one. Why? Because they never hear the question. Because children usually don't come and tell their parents, father, no disrespect. You just told me the other day or 10 minutes ago, don't smoke. Why are you smoking? And the father has to have the right answer. He was like, look, son, I'm not doing it because I'm enjoying it. I'm stuck. I ask Allah in my sujood. And I'm trying my best. I used to smoke more than this. You remember I used to smoke in front of you guys on the table? Now at least I'm doing it out. Alright? But I don't want you to go to what I'm going through right now. But the problem is when that son don't even ask the father. He's like, oh yeah. So he's doing it outside. I gotta do it outside too. He will never know. He didn't see me. Because he didn't see him. Yeah, okay, my father didn't see me, so I just have to go somewhere and do it when he can't see me. Now he's giving a bad example. At least if a father struggles with something, talk to your children about it. Say, look, son, I'm struggling with these cigarettes. It's haram, it's bad, it's nasty, it's evil. Now listen, man, I didn't listen to my father, so I don't want you to do the same mistake. Okay? Stay away from this. Now, how could I? So the Shaykh, he says, you want your son to stay away from the haram, well, you gotta stay away from it first. قال فعندما تقول لابنك صلي يا بني حافظ على الصلاة يا بني فيجب أن تكون أنت سابق له إلى المسجد. Says, now keep in mind when you say to your son, son, pray. I want you to pray, okay? Preserve the prayer, son. Salat is very important. But then why are you telling that? Because this is a good thing. You gotta say to your children these things. But then, that child, he's gonna see it in you. You're practicing it. That you're always in the masjid, alhamdulillah. The time of the salah, you're not in the house. Really, if it's you're sick or whatever, the car broke down and nobody can get you to the masjid. Usually you that father always in the masjid for the salat. So much so that if another person come and knock at the door, Muslim, knock at the door at the time of Asr, and then one of those children open the door, say, who are you? Oh yeah, I'm so and so. What is it, uncle? I'm looking for your father. He's like, what? At this time? You will never see him here this time. Why? What happened? He's in trouble? No, he's in a masjid. What are you doing here? See? Children, they're like, subhanAllah. You will never find my father this time in here. Between Maghrib and Isha? You're coming? You really want my father? Oh yeah, I really need him. He's important. Go to Masjid Tawheed, man. Go to the masjid. You'll find him there. See? Children. Not like another child. Yeah, well, you know where you find him. Horses, stuff, this, that. A'udhu billah. قال عندما تقول لابنك صلي أو تأمره بالصلاة فينبغي أن تكون سابقا له إلى الصلاة محافظا أنت في نفسك على الصلاة. When you say your child, pray. Likewise, when you as a mother, when you say to your daughter, pray, daughter, with a cheerful face, nicely, with a cheerful face, with a smile on your face. Pray. Pray. Okay? Perform the prayer. It's good for you to pray. But then that daughter, she has to see that you're praying. It's not like you're not praying. She never seen a praying you wanted to pray. قال أيضا عندما تنهى ابنك عن أمر محرم مثل الدخان أو المسكرات أو نحو ذلك فينبغي أن تكون أنت أول من يجتنب هذه الأمور. Likewise, when you said to your son, stay away from haram, for instance, son, never smoke, never drink, okay? Stay away from the people who smoke and drink. They're not your friends. Don't sit with them. Don't be with them. Don't spend time with them. Don't walk with them. Don't ride with them, son. But you have to be the one that stay away from these things also. قال لأن من التناقض الذي يقع فيه بعض الآباء أن تجد الأب ينهب له عن خلق وهو يأتي ذلك الخلق. هذا تناقض. He said some parents contradict themselves and they confuse those children. He's telling the child, don't do this, but the child sees his father doing it. That child be confused. Why my father is telling me not to do it and he's doing it? Why? Or tell him to do something, but the father is not doing it. Contradiction. Bring confusion. كيف تطلب من ابنك أن يسمع منك وأنت لا تفعل الشيء الذي أمرته به؟ He said, how? Now you want your son to obey you when you talk, when you tell him to do certain things, but he sees you, you're not doing the same thing, you're not obeying Allah. You want your son to obey you, but you're not obeying Allah. كيف تطلب من ابنك أن ينتهي عن شيء وأنت لا تنتهي عن الشيء الذي نهيته عنه؟ So now you're asking your son to stay away from something that is haram, which is a good thing. But here is the problem. You're doing that haram. How are you going to ask him to stay away from something you yourself guilty of? قال إذا نهيته عن شيء إذا أمرته بشيء تكون سباقا له. Take this a qaida, a principle. Follow it in your life. When you command your son to do something, you got to be the first one that's doing it. You're already doing it. Likewise, when you tell your son or your daughter, don't do this, don't listen to this, don't look at this, don't do that, don't talk this way, don't sit this way, don't dress this way, don't walk this way, then you're supposed to be the first one that already stayed away from this thing. You're far away from this, from all this evil. وَإِيَّاكَ وَالتَّنَاقُدْ فِي التَّرْبِيَةِ. Don't contradict yourself. Be the teacher. Be a good teacher to your children. Don't contradict yourself. تَأْمُرُ بِشَيْءٍ وَلَا تَفْعَلُ. تَنْهَى عَنْ شَيْءٍ وَتَفْعَلُ. This contradiction. In this process of education, some parents, they don't see the fruits because they contradict themselves. They tell their children to do something, but themselves they don't do it. And they tell their children to stay away from other things, but they're the first one that doing it. And that's a contradiction. يُفْسِدُ الْإِبْنُ وَيَضُرُّهُ. This may bring harm and corruption to that child. أَيْنَعَمْ. It may. Except for those that Allah have mercy on them. Now there is some youth, subhanAllah, they grow up in very bad conditions. The family, the father, the mother, they don't know what's going on. They just Muslims by affiliation. No prayer, music, ikhtilat, TVs all over. The family, their friends. But then you find that teenager in the masjid, alhamdulillah, preserving the prayer. He comes on his own. And you will think, na'am, with no examples, you will think that his father, man, subhanAllah, and you will like, hey, who's your father here? He has no answer. And some of them, they cry. I'm like, look, man, I need help with my father, man. Because Allah wants that for them. But usually, many children are corrupt and they lost. And they victims, actually, because their parents, they didn't set the good example. And we don't want some parents to understand from this statement of the Shaykh that you just have to be righteous because of your child. No, this is not the case. You got to do it for yourself, man. It's not like you just want to be righteous because your son be righteous. No. You are doing it for you because you are a servant of Allah. Don't forget that. فيكون القدوة الصالحة لا يأمر ابنه بخلق ثم يخالفه. He doesn't command your son to do something but you're doing the opposite. You gotta be the best example for your children. وقد ذكر الله سبحانه وتعالى عن شعيب عليه السلام في سورة هود قال وما أريد أن أخالفكم إلى ما أنهاكم عنه. And Shu'ayb alayhi salam, as Allah tells us about his story in the Quran in Surah Hud, ayah 88, one of the things that he was addressing his people, he says, and I don't want to oppose you and do that which I'm telling you to not do. Okay? I don't want to be the one who fall into the prohibitions that I'm already telling you to stay away from. يعني لا أنهاكم عن شيء وأنا أفعله. He said, he's telling them, I'm not telling you to stay away from some things while I'm doing it. No, it's not the case. بل أنهاكم عن الشيء وأنا أول من ينتهي عنه. Rather, when I tell you this is haram, stay away from it, you got to know that I'm the first one who already stayed away from it. فهكذا المسلم يقول الشيخ. The Muslim, this is the true Muslim. المسلم عندما ينهى عن الأخلاق الرذيلة أو القيم المنحطة أو نحو ذلك يكون هو في نفسه مبتعدا عنها فيكون قدوة صالحة لابنه. This is how a Muslim should be. When a Muslim for instance as we're talking about the education of the children, when a Muslim tell his children to stay away from all low, base, despicable and vile characteristics and ill manners, he's supposed to be the first one that already stayed away from them. This way, that father and that mother, they be the best example, a good example for their children. Now, number six from these guidelines that the Shaykh Abdul Razzaq Al-Badr Hafidhahullah has mentioned, أن تأمرهم وتنهاهم. Now, being a parent, especially the father and the mother too, that you command them, you tell them to do things and you tell them to stay away from other things. You command them to do certain things, likewise you command them to stay away from other things. What do you command them to do and what do you command them to stay away from? The Shaykh, he says, تأمرهم بما ينفعهم من الخير والصلاح والاستقامة والبر والصلة. For example, you command them with that which brings them good, benefits, righteousness. Tell them, son, daughter, I want you to do that which is good. Do that which is righteous. Be upright upon Islam. Be kind to your parents, to your grandparents, to your family members. Keep the ties of kinship. وَتَنْهَاهُمْ عَمَّا يَضُرُّهُمْ. Likewise, you command them to stay away and to distance themselves from all harmful things to them. الفواحش والمعاصي والرذيلة, all evil, all types of evil, sins, sinful acts, and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all despicable manners, you command them to stay away from those things. فدائما تتابع ابنك, دائما تكون في متابعة لابنك ومراقبة له. Now you always do this. It's not like whenever, once in every 3 years. No. You gotta do it constantly. You be consistent. You feed them every day, don't you? Say, so, subhanAllah. Your children, there is food only once a week? Is there food in the house only once a month? Once a year? For you to just talk to them about Islam and about Allah and about the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about akhlaq once a week or once a month? What happened if a father doesn't bring food to the house except once a week? What would happen? Ahmed, tell me. Huh? They be hungry. Mustafa, you eat only on Friday and you not no food in the house, nothing until next Friday. What do you think? That's a good thing? Huh? What's going to happen to you? Now, what do you think? Look at the children, they can't even think about that. Who's this father now? Maybe in their mind they're like, who's this father, man? Can you tell us his name? Who's this father that doesn't bring food a whole week, only once a week? That's just an example. What do you think, Akhi, about that father? Yes? You? What do you think of in this case? What's going to happen to these children?
The children will still do the same thing the father is doing, because the father is telling the children to do the right thing when the father is doing the wrong thing.
No. Look. Now, that what you said is good. Now we're talking about a father who brings food only on Friday.
Oh.
What do you think about the children's condition? They eat only on Friday. They have one half an hour. From 2 o'clock to 2:30, they eat, and that's it, until next Friday at 2 o'clock again. What do you think?
That's a bad father.
No. Listen. Pay attention to the question. It's very important. That's going to help you to give the right answer. It's not like the father. What do you think about those children who eats only once a week? All right. You tell me.
They starve.
They starve, man. You think we as a human being, you think it's enough for us to eat only once a week? Some of us, they have a breakfast at 7 a.m. By 3 p.m., they didn't eat no breakfast. They are ready to eat more. Talking about tomorrow, next day, they be starving. They get sick. Rare on. And when they get sick, can they function? Likewise, some children are starving, man, when it comes to Tawheed. Their parents talk to them, no Tawheed. They starving. They don't talk to them about the Sunnah. They starving. They get sick with the Bidah. Why? Because they don't have no Tawheed, no Sunnah. And usually now those children, may Allah protect our children. Those children who don't have no food usually, because the house has no food, what usually they do? Huh? They want to go and steal some food. Some of them, they're going to go to trash cans, right or wrong, and eat bad stuff that make them sick. They get in trouble, right? Well, likewise, if we parents were not talking to our children about Tawheed, about Sunnah, well, the Mubtadi'ah are going to be talking to them. You see? Somebody else in the street, in the school, is going to tell them, oh yeah, this is Islam. Oh, Allah is everywhere, okay? Allah is everywhere. Is Allah everywhere? Where is Allah? Huh? Ain Allah? Ahsan, above the heavens. See? Where this brother know? He come to the classes, alhamdulillah, his parents, this, Allahu Akbar. If we are not talking to our children, if we're not teaching them, somebody else is going to teach them. Naam, some children, especially that we live in here, in a non-Muslim country. And many youth, they go to public schools. And atheist teacher, tell them, there is no God, man. What are you talking about? No God. Now, child is named Muhammad, Abdullah, Umar, Saleh, and there is no God. He's from a Muslim country. No God. Why? Because nobody talks to him about God. Nobody talks to him about Allah. The teacher tell him, there is no such thing, punishment of the grave, man. What are you talking about? If we go dig out a grave right now, you're going to see nothing. He's like, hey, there is no punishment in the grave. Why? Because somewhere, Tazili is teaching him. in so-called Muslim school, who just a name. Sufis teaching our children, what are they going to teach them? Bid'ah, innovations. Why? Because the parents are not teaching. Now I want to share with you an example. It's the opposite. SubhanAllah. And we heard it from our noble Sheikh. Sheikh Falah Ismail, Hafidahullah, when he came here and visited in America. We benefited a lot when he was here. And he gave an example. He said, Ya Akhwan, when he was talking about this matter, he was talking about the education of the children. He said, you have to spend time with your children, man. If you're not doing it, who will? Huh? You gotta do it. And he gave an example. He says, look, because the Sheikh is from Kuwait. He says, in Kuwait and Saudi, in these two countries that he mentioned, the Sheikh, he says, Shia live there. There is a lot of Shia, Rawafid, the Shia, they live in Saudi and they live in Kuwait. The Sheikh Falah Ismail was given this example. بعد الأذان إن شاء الله. طيب.
الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر الله أكبر أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله أشهد أن محمدا رسول الله حي على السلام حي على السلام حي على الفلاح حي على الفلاح الله أكبر الله أكبر لا إله إلا الله
نعم شيخ فلاح إسماعيل حفظه الله says look there are Shia that lives in Kuwait and in Saudi Arabia may Allah protect the Muslims from the Shia and their evil Ameen He says, look, and in Saudi Arabia and Kuwait, the government does not allow, it's not permissible. They do not allow the Shia to establish their own schools. They're not allowed. Meaning that the children of the Shia, they go to school in the schools that it's established by the government. And in Saudi Arabia, what they teach, the Sheikh says, what they teach from K, pre-K, until you get the PhD, what they teach? Tawheed, Aqeedah for Salaf. They teach them Talatat Usul. From the first grade, they have curriculum from these books. Bulugh al-Maram, Arba'in al-Nawawiyya, Kitab al-Tawheed, Naam, these are curriculum. Doesn't matter. If people grow up a little bit and they want to do math, physics, well, they still have to learn Tawheed, Quran, Tafsir, the Aqeedah of Salaf. The Sheikh says, you think like, look, Subhanallah, here is a child who from pre-K when he was like 5 years old or six, until he get his PhD, is mandatory upon that child. In the elementary school, in the middle school, high school, college, to study the Tawheed, the Aqeedah of the Salaf. He said, you think, Subhanallah, Allahu Akbar, after all of these years, 20 years of studying the Aqeedah, they be Salafis. No, they get worse upon the Shia. They stay Shi'is. After studying Talatat Usul, Kitab al-Tawheed, Fath al-Majid, many books of the Salaf, they stay Shi'is, Rafidis, who hate Abu Bakr. And they say he's a kafir. Hate Umar, hate Uthman, hate Aisha, Hafsa, and many of the companions. They say they kuffar and this and that, and they talk bad about Ahlul Sunnah and this. Then the Sheikh says, why? He says, the house. The parents, the Shi'i parents. When they put the child in the school, they said, son, we're putting you in the school of these guys, huh? This Ahlul Sunnah. Nawasib, look, study good. They're gonna teach you Kitab al-Tawheed, this, Abu Bakr is the Khalifa, he's the best. Na'am, learn. When you ask who's the best of this Ummah after the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, say Abu Bakr. Don't say Ali. Say Abu Bakr so you can get the grade. But in our Aqeedah, Abu Bakr is kafir. That's what they say to the children. He's a kafir. Alright? Aisha, she's the mother of the believers. Aina'am. But for us, son, meaning the Shia talking, she's kafira. She's a disbeliever. Adulterer. Wal'iyadu billah. La'anatullahi alayhim. See? The Sheikh Salah Ismail, he says, when that child comes from kindergarten, first grade, 10th grade, whatever, they say, son, come here. With the teacher, what do you have today? Oh, we have Aqeedah class. What did he say? He said this, and the best of the Ummah is Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and then Ali. They says, look, son, remember that for the test. But the reality is not. Aina. That's how they grow. SubhanAllah. If they're doing it for that to turn their children away from the Haqq, SubhanAllah, parents gotta do it to turn and keep and protect your children from falsehood. You don't know, you just send your children to the school, drop them off, they spend 7 hours with a stranger, you don't know who he is. Well, you should know who he is. If it's public school, that's a kafir, right or wrong? And it could be anybody. Could be a communist, it could be atheist, it could be 5%, it could be 0.5%, it could be, I don't know what it could be. Could be an HMO, whatever, it could be a lot of things. So now when your children come back to school, come here, son. What you got today? We got math. The teacher talk about math. Yeah, he talk about math, but then he began to talk about some other stuff. It's not a big deal, father. Come here, brother. A math teacher talk about what other stuff? He was talking about like Muslims and this and then. That's it's okay. You be a Muslim or non-Muslim. Say, listen, boy, take math from him. That's it. Likewise, what you got today? Science. What the teacher talk about, son? He was talking about like we all came from a monkey and this and that. Big monkey, who was a big one. Big monkey somewhere, I don't know where in China. And he said, yeah, we're all descendants of monkeys. So now if you don't ask your children this question, that child is already now like, oh, we come from a monkey. And it's not the case. Or they teach them, look, whatever happened is Mother Nature. I said, it's all from the nature. Nature creates itself and reproduce and everything go around in one way and come back in another form. That's it. That's how it is. Now you got to sit with your children and tell them, no, son, it's not like that. Allah created, not my Mother Nature. Mother Nature doesn't create anything. Allah created the heavens, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, the galaxies. Create us. Create the animals, the birds, the insects, the fish. Allah who creates sun, not Mother Nature. That's ignorant person. See? But how many of us do this? Likewise, those who send their... Because some schools, they call them Muslim schools, but a lot of them, they just have the name. Sufis. Juhal, ignorant people. Teaching your children Sufiya. Jahl. Shirk. Tawassul bil qubur. Yeah, it's okay to go to grave and say, oh, so and so. No, Prophet. No, some teachers, they khurafiyun, sufiyun. They teach the children, no, when you go to Hajj, yeah, you go to the grave and ask the Prophet to help you. That's shirk, akbar, that's a major shirk. But then the child, he just fascinated by the teacher. Yeah, that's the Prophet. I'm not telling you to go to the grave, any grave. This is the grave of the Prophet. And they, you know how they play in the tones, and the child get it. Now you tell him, son, we don't ask the Prophet, because Allah tells us to ask him. And we don't ask anyone. We don't depend on anyone. We don't turn to the people, the human being. We ask them for things they can do. Now, you can ask someone to push. If he's a strong man and alive and he's there, you're not going to ask somebody in Florida and you're here in Georgia, hey, give me a hand. What hand? How long his hand can be? No, that person has to be right next to you. And he has to be sound. It's not like someone who's sick. Just you bringing him from the hospital, can't even move. Now the car breaks down. Say, hey, give me a hand. What hand? Now he has to be able, has to be alive, present, able to assist you. Yes, that person you can ask. But you can ask someone in the grave, no, son. And you as a father, you go to the teacher and talk to him. Tell him, yes, this is not right, man. And this is how we do, ya akhwan, barakallahu fikum. We continue. And next time we're not done from this, inshallah. Jazakum Allah khairan, barakallahu fikum. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam taslima kathira.